All right, Fred Rogan and Rob Parker in today for Rodney, the BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse Lunch Hour. This will be a good show.
This will be a good show. And I haven't seen you in a while, Fred. I know. Great to see you.
I know. We already started fighting before we came on the air. Anyway, here's the deal. We'll give you a question. Today, we're going to ask for a joke. The best 30-second joke is going to BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse. You get a $100 gift card. BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse, the place to go with the all-new Happy Hour specials, including $4 BJ's signature handcrafted beer and half off many deep dish pizzas. Okay. I can't remember a time where anything like that happened at Dodger Stadium. I think it's happened before. If you don't know what occurred last night out at the stadium, a pipe burst and there was a sewage leak.
Oh my.
And all of a sudden you saw guys running around with squeegees on Channel 4 last night. Here's what we did. Angelo Simone, our producer, took a clip of the old Beverly Hillbillies. And he showed Jed Clampett shooting the gun. And, you know, when they hit oil in the Beverly Hillbillies. So
right.
You saw Jed Clampett shooting the gun, an old clip. And then you saw the water at Dodger Stadium
just going all over.
Going all over the place. The guys with squeegees were out there. But the problem is, it's a very distasteful odor. And the water kept coming. And they couldn't get it cleaned up. Anyway, here is the update. 10 minutes ago,
yes,
I communicated with someone at Dodger Stadium. I'm not going to reveal this person's name.
Okay. As long as we get the information and we know where it came from, I'm good with it.
It is a high-ranking official.
All right.
And I was told point blank, the problem is solved, the field is good to go, and they're ready for opening day.
Very nice.
As of this moment.
Can't wait, Fred, and just coming driving in. The weather today, are we ready tomorrow for opening day? Beautiful. Like 80 degrees, 79, 80 degrees tomorrow. I sound like Fritz Coleman. But I'm expecting I don't know. I'm so excited about tomorrow. Opening day to me is a holiday. It's special. It just is.
Can you remember a time, Rob, where a game was postponed or an event was canceled because of a sewage spillover, a water pipe burst? I think it did happen some years ago.
What were you trying to figure out? The A's? Was it the Oakland A's or something? I kind of vaguely remember a story like that, Fred. I just can't put my finger on what
it was. October in 2016, the A's.
Was it?
And I think it was the clubhouse, if I remember correctly. Yeah, a pipe burst, the sewage in the clubhouse, and that's not good. And it's
sure it wasn't a backup of free chili dogs or something? Or was that what it was?
Yeah, and at first, it's unsanitary. Second, it's unhealthy.
Oh, God.
And last night, that water was climbing into the crowd in the premium seats. It was bad. But they've got it fixed. And by the way, it is a city issue. I mean, if you have to point fingers at somebody here, it's a city issue.
The city owns the stadium, right?
Well, yeah, they're the pipe people.
Right. No, I get it.
And understand that when something like that happens, although there's a sense of urgency because you've paid money, and you're at the game, or you're watching the game, or you're listening to the game, the city can move as fast as the city can move. I mean, if that happened at your house and you called up and said, look, we've got a problem here on the street, there's a good possibility they wouldn't be there in 7 minutes.
No, not at all.
It takes a while to get there.
Right.
Now, they did get there last night around 11 o'clock, and I guess they have the entire situation controlled and fixed now. But that's what happened last night at Dodger Stadium. And Mike Socia got together with Dave Roberts, the umpire. Stan Kasten came down. You knew there was an issue when Stan showed up.
Right.
When Stan got down there,
he was like, okay, this is major. We might not have a ball game, right?
Right.
We thought so.
Yeah. So anyway, it's all cleaned up. Everybody's ready to go tomorrow. Your BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse Lunch Hour question at 866-987-2570. Give us your best line about what happened last night. Sewage. Problems.
Oh, man.
Pipe bursts.
If I could pipe in, please keep it clean, people.
I was going to say, there you go. And we're glad you piped in. Very good, Kevin.
Nice pun there, Kevin.
Yes.
And I did check, guys. There have been multiple reports out of the Oakland Coliseum where players are complaining about the locker room being flooded with sewage. I mean, it goes back years and years and years. I think the last reported incident was that 2016 one.
Well, yeah, but that's a dump.
Yeah.
I mean, with all due respect, the Oakland Coliseum is just a dump.
It is. And, you know, I think there was talk for a minute that they were going to get a new stadium, but they just haven't gotten one. And that's not a great place to see a ball game.
Well, what happened up there, to be quite honest with you, is there was a battle. Who was going to get the stadium? The A's or the Raiders? That was the issue. And ultimately, given the A's political clout, the A's won out. They're going to get a new stadium.
So are they? So it's done. Are they?
Well, they're going to get a new stadium. Yes, that's going to happen. But
because Oakland won't have any teams if they don't get the A's a stadium.
No, the A's will get a stadium. Yeah, that was the battle behind the scenes. Who was going to win that power play? The A's or the Raiders?
I would always pick. This is just me. Baseball over football, just from this standpoint.
More events.
Yes. Football has this 10 home games, you know, with the two preseason. You're building a stadium for a team that plays 10 times a year? I'm sorry. I would always pick baseball.
It seems to me, from what I read and hear, that the A's, they're going to get a new stadium, and it won't even be within the city limits of Oakland. So one of those, they'll be called the Oakland A's. But
they'll be outside the city.
They'll be somewhere else. So Oakland, Rob, to your point, won't have any teams because the Warriors are moving back to San Francisco.
Right.
The Raiders are leaving to Las Vegas. So they literally will have
nothing. They will have no team. That's unbelievable.
But I saw a plan yesterday, okay, or maybe 2 days ago, mm-hmm, where they were trying to figure out a way to build a new stadium where the Warriors play now in the A's and just develop that
and
land.
Develop that area.
Because it's a great location.
It is a great location. It's right off the BART. Yeah. It's everything. I mean, it is a good location. Why would you move it?
Yeah, well, that's the issue. It's such a political nightmare up there because you're dealing with three different constituencies, the city, the county, and the state.
I'm seeing a report from late February. They're looking at the Howard Terminal location next to Jack London Square there on the water.
Right.
Which is a real nice location.
Yeah, but this new report came out yesterday, and they're thinking about tearing down the Coliseum, tearing down where the Warriors play Oracle,
right,
and building there.
And building right there.
Yeah, building right there.
Okay.
By the way, talking about that sewage, if you're a plumber, can you please call us and explain how that kind of happens, how the pipe bursts? You're a plumber. You understand. And then how you have to fix it.
You know, as Rasheed Wallace used to always say, pressure bust pipes, right? Pressure bust pipes.
Yeah, we need plumbers or people that understand that kind of thing, and we'll even put you in BJ's today.
And if you're going to call and you're a plumber, please pull your pants up first. We don't want to see your crack. Fred, what is that with the plumbers? Is it the tools on the belt? What? How many, the plumber crack? I mean, you've seen the plumbers come to your house.
Yeah, there is a plumbing company that basically does commercials that says they smell well.
Yes.
And you won't see their crack. Yeah.
You know what I want to do sometimes? I'm not even kidding you. Just take a quarter and put it in like it's a slot.
That's not necessary.
Bull crap.
That's not necessary, Rob. That's so wrong on so many levels. All right. So anyway, we're looking for plumbers. Oh, good. We're going to take a plumber right now. Get him ready to go. He'll explain how this kind of thing can happen. Then I want you to tell everybody your thoughts on the Dodgers this year.
I'm sorry.
Well, because we already started fighting about it here. Greg the Plumber, you're on AM570 LA Sports. If you go over 30 seconds, you can still win BJ's because you're an expert. Can you explain what happened last night?
Okay, Fred, here's what we got going on. We had a sale on some hot dogs. Everybody got in line to get those dogs. And the pipes couldn't handle it. So that's how you get that stoppage. Now, of course, the Dodger Stadium should be connected to a big city sewer, so the city should have to step in at that point in time. But, you know, like I say, all due to the sale on these hot dogs, that's the main cause.
All right.
I tell you what, Fred.
What?
That is a serious situation. No, not to take it, you know, lightly. It is a serious, unsanitary situation that unfortunately happens. Unfortunately to everybody, not just the Dodgers. Every home has this kind of problem. But that's just the nature of it. City sewers get overwhelmed. Stoppages occur. And that's just what happens, man. It's just a stoppage. Thank you for putting me on, fellas.
Thank you.
There goes Greg the Plumber. So he attributes the issue to a sale on hot dogs last night. Now, this is a professional. He would know. Let's do Ryan and Laguna real quick. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, guys, I'm excited about this season, and, man, like, there's a lot of haters out there, but I love that the Dodgers season is starting where it's like you can't take it too seriously. You just got to stay relaxed and chill and take it for what it is. And I heard last night, man, what clogged those pipes was giant goo.
Okay. Thanks for that.
What was that? Giant goo? Is that what he said it was?
Well,
giant's poo. Is a,
oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, giant's poo. All
right, now we're just going to take calls from plumbers. Okay, because, see, we tried to let you make a joke,
yeah,
and we said try not to go into that direction, But you did.
And we went there right away.
So now we have to take calls from plumbers. Let's start with this. You don't think the Dodgers are going to the World Series. You don't think so.
I hate to be negative Nelly the day before opening day, but this is the problem I have, Fred.
All right, let's go.
They didn't do anything. They didn't do anything to improve their chances of what happened last year. And I know they have a strong team. I know that they're loaded up the lineup, and I get it. And you have Clayton Kershaw at the top of your rotation. I get all the other stuff that you have, but who did they lose in this past offseason? Two guys.
Right. One I'm sad for, one I'm thankful for.
Right?
Right.
And who else?
Right. You know what you're doing? The name game. That's what you're doing. Oh, they lost Yu Darvish.
Yes.
Oh, my God. They didn't want to pay a guy $20 million.
And you know what the Cubs did?
What?
The Cubs paid him not up $20 million. They paid him $128 million.
Good for them.
And you know what?
And you know what?
The Cubs are the favorite in the National League.
Stop, Rob.
It's going to be about Yu Darvish is going to wind up being the Dodgers' worst nightmare. I'm telling
you.
No,
he's not.
Everybody, Fred, you guys better stop poo-pooing Yu Darvish and just wonder to yourself, he didn't lose you the World Series last year. Stop it.
Stop it.
He didn't.
No, you stop it. You stop it, Rob.
Can I just give you one example on why I say the Dodgers didn't go and do stuff like they could have?
And by the way, the Dodgers are the favorites to win the World Series everywhere except in the Rob Parker betting line.
Okay. And let's take a look at the Houston Astros. Who won the World Series last year?
I believe it was the Houston Astros.
Okay. Houston Astros. They set. They got Verlander again the whole season. They got everything going on. Right?
Right.
They got their whole squad.
Right.
Coming back. Nobody's leaving.
Right.
Everything's great.
I got you.
What did they go do? Let me see. They sat on their hands and they drank champagne and played with the World Series trophy, right?
Sure.
No.
Oh.
They went and got Gerrit Cole, the Pittsburgh Pirates' best pitcher.
He got lit up in the spring, Rob.
I don't care about the spring. I'm never caring about the spring.
I like Gerrit Cole, by the way. I like him.
Now, is that a move by a team that's sitting idle saying that we won the World Series,
yeah,
we're good?
You know what that is? The name game. All you're doing is playing the name game, Rob.
Yes, I am.
Well, then why?
Because he is a stud that they added to a team that just won the World Series. And what did the Dodgers do? They let a starting pitcher go to their rival.
Thank God.
To their rival.
Thank God.
So you're telling me the Cubs, who have won a World Series since 1988, right?
Correct.
So the Cubs who have won a World Series.
Yeah, I heard that the first time.
Okay. And,
I got
and the Dodgers, who haven't won a World Series since 1988, they let him go because
yes,
they didn't want to pay him.
No, they let him go because they should have let him go. Why would you want that guy pitching for you?
That's not the reason the Dodgers lost the World Series a year ago, Fred.
Please. You know what? Go out there in that seventh game, dust somebody off.
It was game five. It was game five in Clayton Kershaw. They gave him a 4-run lead. He blew that. They gave him a 3-run lead. He blew that. The last Clayton Kershaw's record when he has a 4-run lead, you ready? When he was given 4 runs.
What?
Was 100. And won before he lost, before he didn't win that game.
Well, now he's
101.
Okay, so you know what?
You got to win that game. You win that game, you're up 3-2. You come back to Dodger Stadium with the final 2 games, you win the World Series.
I look
Series.
At it like this. Now he's 102. That's still a pretty good winning percentage.
That's not good enough. Not when the World Series was on the line. I'm telling you, I don't like. They're going to have to wind up at the end scrambling like they did at the end of this past year, trying to get a guy to pitch in their rotation.
And they will, if they need to. All right, let's get back to the lines. We have some people that are well-versed in plumbing and irrigation. Let's get them on real quick here, Rob. First, Lisa in Santa Clarita. She works for a plumber. Hi, Lisa.
Hey there. So maybe the pipes are original clay pipes? Because in Los Angeles, a lot of these old places have clay pipes, and they need to be replaced and upgraded with copper pipes.
See?
And the cost is astronomical, so they try to hold out as long as they can, right?
No.
Until they burst.
Yeah, but I'm sure you can get insurance to cover it. And then also make sure that they install clean outs around the stadium. But honestly, the only way that you can get rid of this kind of sludge is to get rid of Andrew Friedman.
Oh, wow. Money.
Wow. Lisa.
Wow.
What is up with that?
Wow.
Say Ellis. Yeah. What's that other thing?
Wait, Lisa, hold on. AJ Ellis.
No, I'm saying they should have kept AJ Ellis.
No, Lisa.
Why does Kershaw want to give them anything now?
No, he won't.
Anyways, that's the truth. If I win, can I use the BJ's to buy the beer?
Yes.
Awesome.
But I think after your comment about Andrew Friedman, you're not going to win.
Wow.
Why? No. I didn't hire Hugh Darvish or Granderson.
Oh, wow. Lisa's a Dodger fan, though.
Is.
You can't say Lisa's not a Dodger fan.
All right, Lisa. All right, Lisa, you're in. You're in the competition. Thanks for calling. All right, goodbye. All right, we have more people online.
You expect a dead zinger? Wow.
I'll give her credit. She set it up really nicely, didn't she?
Pretty
set
good.
It up. Great timing.
I didn't hire Curtis Granderson. All right.
Timing was great.
Yeah, but I think Andrew Friedman's done a pretty good job of remaking the roster.
Yeah, I think he's done fairly decent.
Yeah, I think he's done a pretty good job. All right. We have an irrigation expert. We have a plumber that says they don't have a plumber crack.
Okay, good.
And we have a phenomenal plumber. You don't know any of them, but that's a tease. They're coming up. Plus, we'll check in with Alana Rizzo and find out about the Dodgers roster move today. Fred Rogan and Rob Parker on AM570 LA Sports. And don't forget, if you do text to that number, then if your phone rings, answer it. Even if you don't know, it's an unknown number, because if you text and then your phone rings, it's going to be us wanting to give you a grand in your hand. All right, let's get through the irrigation experts, the plumbers. I want to start with Juan.
We did say 502 Mega Millions tonight.
Oh, 502
million. 502 million.
All right, well, I've got to get over to the liquor store across the street.
Yes.
Okay. Juan says he is a Mexican plumber standing outside of Home Depot. Hello, Juan. Now, what is your issue?
Look, senor, you give me a six-pack of beer, some peanuts for me and my friend Pablo, we could have fixed it and not canceled the game, homie. We got it.
All right. Thank you, Juan.
Thank you.
Although I don't actually think
Juan was Mexican.
No.
We can't do that.
What was that?
Or he was outside of Home Depot. See, and I actually bought it for a minute.
You bought it for a minute.
Yeah.
But then you could tell he was a put on.
If that's what he said, what his name and his title was, we knew that was going down the wrong road.
Yes. See, I thought he was just being really honest. So that's my bad.
All right. Don't worry about it. We're good.
All right. Now we have a sanitation savant. It's Chris in Alhambra. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, guys. I've been a plumber for almost 20 years in my own business. So all kidding aside, that should have never happened. Dodgers blew it. When a facility is sitting for a half a year doing nothing, and then all of a sudden a game is about to start, no one's done any preventative maintenance on that place, blowing out the sewage lines with the hydrojetter. I find that very hard to believe, but I used to do the Rose Bowl before every big conference game, and that's an older facility, much older, and they used to call me a week before the game would begin. And they never had a problem, no emergency. So the main thing is two big words, preventative maintenance. If you do that, blow out the sewer lines with a hydrojetter, clean them all out. These are not clay pipes. These are cast iron pipeless. It's a commercial facility.
All right.
Copper is only meant for water coming into the building, not going out.
Thanks, Chris.
See, there you go. He sounds like a savant.
Yeah, also he sounds like a man that had a colonic. Trying to blow it out in the pipes.
Is that right?
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. All right, let's go Ken in Riverside. Now, Ken says he works in irrigation. Yes, Ken.
You know what? I got the answer, and it's totally out of the box. No one's going to be thinking it, and even the saboteur is not going to be thinking it. Fred, I know you love conspiracies. Who are we hosting opening day? Hated enemies from up north, the San Francisco Giants. So I would not put it past the San Francisco Giants fan to have taken a cherry bomb, flushed it down our pipes, just to blow that pipe because they lost their boy, Bumgarner. And Rob, I'm hand-in-hand with you. Unfortunately, Darvish was Kershaw's whipping boy. That loss was all Kershaw.
No doubt about it. My man Ken knows baseball.
Thanks, Ken.
No doubt, Ken. I'm telling you, Fred, it's revisionist history. You guys keep putting it on Darvish because he was the Johnny-come-lately to the team. It's easy to blame him. No. It was a 2-2 series, game five in Houston, and your ace is on the mound with a spotted with a 4-run lead on the road.
It was an aberration.
All right, so he gives up the 4 runs. You know what the Dodgers do? They give him 3 more and say, hold this, win this game. And then we go back to Dodger Stadium and just got to win 1 of 2, and the Dodgers would have won their first World Series since 1988.
I don't want to pile on you, Fred, or Clayton, but it's not an aberration. He has a history of not performing well in the postseason, and his ERA actually went up these last 2 postseasons.
I don't even know what stat you're looking at.
You know? Dad, you,
I don't even know what you're looking
Kev,
at.
Kev, you're 100, Kev.
I try to.
Come on.
Right. I'm not hating on Kershaw. I love Clayton. I'm just being honest.
I think he's a great pitcher, but he should have won Game 5 in Houston.
You know what? That's history. What should have happened is the Dodgers should have won Game 7. That's what should have happened.
Is that what you're doing? So this is all on Yu Darvish?
Well, I said that 15 minutes ago.
I'm not buying it.
Okay.
Okay.
You don't have to. Let's see if you buy the man that claims he doesn't have a plumber crack. David in Los Angeles. Go ahead.
Show up on time, smelling good. Ain't no bubbles here, man.
That's right. That's that commercial, right? What were we talking about?
Yeah.
Mike Diamond.
Mike Diamond. That's right.
This is the real Dave Fox from Mike Diamond. But, yeah, like that other plumber guy said, that shouldn't have happened. I just have to say preventative maintenance. That could have, you know, prevented all that happening. But who does preventative maintenance, you know? Well, especially, I mean, Dodger Stadium has so many toilets. You can only imagine, you know, how much they'd have to scope it out and actually probably snake it or jet it. Who knows? It could have been someone using the toilet, probably put too much toilet paper. I don't know.
Wait a minute.
David.
One toilet with too much toilet paper.
Did that?
No, they probably clogged one line, maybe at a certain level that, you know, caused all the other lines to back up because they're all on that same line.
But, David, let me tell you this. This is my theory about the problem with public toilets. Seriously.
Oh, God.
I'm dead serious. This is the problem.
Yeah, go ahead.
The problem is the only time someone is willing to use a public toilet is usually when they get, like,
really?
They're sick. Like,
exactly.
Am I right? Like, exactly. If I don't have to do it, I wouldn't do it in a public toilet. But so I'm sick. So that's the only reason, and that's why public bathrooms are garbage.
I'm with you, Ronnie. I'm probably the same way. I would agree with you. I probably wouldn't use a public bathroom myself unless, you know, it was an emergency.
You have no choice.
You had no choice.
All right, David. But, David, thank you.
You're very welcome, guys.
All right. I don't know if we needed to hear that,
Fred.
I don't know if that was
Fred.
Necessary.
You know, true though,
Fred. You know, I travel a lot, and I'm telling you,
God.
Fred. You go to the airport. You go into the airport bathroom.
Yeah, I know, Rob. I've been
like,
in them.
It's like someone's like. Like they're tuning their tuba. You know what I mean? Like the noise in there.
What? Stop. Stop.
I'm sorry.
Riley in Northridge, go ahead.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Just like Chris was saying, preventative maintenance is key, but all the pipes lead into one main sewer pipe.
All right.
And you know, it's not all one pipe. It's a bunch of sections.
Right.
I'm pretty sure at one point it shifted a little bit, and it ended up getting caught on that blockage. And then it was free hot dogs that day, free whatever. All that paper is going to get caught in one spot. So after a while, built up, and that's where that coupling gave out. And then that got that sewage everywhere. And that's, that's no fun.
No, Riley, it's no fun. Thanks for calling.
You don't want to use too much paper, Fred.
All right. God. Jesus, Rob. Come on, Vic.
With all that experience in the Borough of Queens, come on now.
Come on, Vic.
Now, Vic. Come
on. Come on, Vic. All right. We'll continue our conversation. Are we going to get to run the Ronda Rousey audio this hour, Jason? Will we do that later?
If not this hour, we got to do it before the end of the show. It's golden South.
Is this the second interview or the one from the other
She
day?
Did two interviews yesterday. She's doing the car wash over there at ESPN, and
right.
She did two regrettable things, and we have the most inflammatory one.
Perfect.
Because she did one with Golic. Did you see that?
That's what we're talking about.
Oh, okay. All right. One with Golic. Wait till you hear that.
We'll try to get this on.
So sad.
Try to get it on this hour. Okay, but now let's make you the smartest person in the room.
Is it real?
They're real, and they're spectacular.
Or fake news?
Fake.
All right. These are the stories you will carry with you throughout the afternoon. Dazzle your friends. Impress them with your knowledge. Joining us today to compete against Rob Parker. Rob Tuba Blow It Out Parker. Michelle,
you know what I'm talking about. You've been at the airport.
You know, I was at the game last night.
Were you?
It was a crappy time.
Did you get...
Oh, God.
Were you getting your money back? Or is there any chance of getting your money back for that?
No.
It was a regulation game.
That's not fair.
I know. What are you going to do?
It's like it was rained out.
It wasn't, though.
Well, it kind of was. Watered out.
Well, it went to five innings, so I think that counts as a game.
But Fred, you said it's like rain, but rain is not brown tissue and water coming down.
This was liquid chaos.
That's right.
The Rams are adding male cheerleaders. The Los Angeles Rams have been making news all week, and today they announced they will have male cheerleaders next season. Quentin Perron and Napoleon Ginnis will be out on the field this season, cheering and dancing alongside the previously all-female team. Rob Parker, is that real or fake?
I'm going to say, I mean, it should be fake. I'm just going to say I think it's fake.
All right, Michelle.
I think it's fabulous and it's true.
That's all you have to say?
That's all I have to say. It's real,
boy. What? It's real, boy.
You should have seen those guys, happy as clams, just they're on the team, they're dancing around. It was awesome.
Unbelievable.
LiAngelo Ball dropped 72 points in a game the same day he declared for the NBA draft. On the same day he declared for the 2018 NBA draft, LiAngelo had his best game since traveling overseas, playing against children. He had a double-double with 72 points and 11 rebounds during the Big Baller Brand Challenge. Michelle, is that real or fake?
I'm going to say that's fake news.
That's real. Yes.
Yeah, that was real.
Right?
You got me against children. I was like,
70,
what?
Yeah. But the competition is ridiculous. 72 points. What? It doesn't even matter. What is he doing?
I threw the line in against children.
But did you? Because it is against kids.
Yeah, that's right. It's not even
so
real.
So sad.
No, you know, isn't everything he's doing over there.
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff.
Although, that story was real.
No, that was real.
Yeah. All right. Dodgers switch-hitting catcher says he will bat left-handed against certain left-handed pitchers this season. Dodger catcher Yasmani Grandal hit .233 with two homers as a right-handed hitter last year, compared to his .250 average with 20 homers from the left side. Grandal told the LA Times he will still switch-hit this season, but will bat left-handed against certain lefties that he had success against in the past. Rob, is that real or fake?
That only makes sense when you are so anemic right-handed, even against lefties. I mean, if it's not working, why would you keep doing it? I'm going to say that's real.
Say that's real. Michelle.
I'm going to say that's real. I love Yaz.
You're going to say it's real?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
It's all fake news.
What?
It's phony stuff.
What? What's fake about it?
The whole story.
Really?
No.
Yeah. The entire thing was fake.
But wait a minute. Those numbers against lefties and right,
were those
fake?
No, that was fair.
Okay.
That's real.
Okay.
Everything else was fake.
Wow.
He's a liar.
Okay. I thought you made up the numbers, too. Then maybe he doesn't have an advantage. But I wouldn't have a problem with him hitting lefty against lefty if he's had success.
Right. You almost never see it unless there's a knuckleballer on. Then you see the switch hitter like switch to right or something. But you almost never see them go lefty-lefty. You know?
No, unless you really, and he probably doesn't have enough data against lefties that to say he's done well because he's been switch hitting all the time.
All right, yeah. Okay.
And I'll just say this. You gave that way too much thought.
I'm sorry.
Way too much thought.
It's baseball season.
I understand. It's almost.
Am I right?
Yes, you're right.
It's baseball season.
Yeah, thank you, Vic.
Thanks, Vic.
The Yankees announced they're serving personalized player beers during games this year. MLB gets wind of it and completely shuts it down. The Yankees announced they were going to sell beer with foam that had the likeness of the...
He can't even get through the story.
The Yankees announced they were going to sell beer with foam that had the likeness of the fans' favorite player. MLB had to warn the team that selling beer with their player's likeness in the foam is illegal. Michelle, is that real or fake?
Okay, I think you mixed up the story. I'm going to say that's fake news.
Yeah, I don't know. I just read it to you.
I'm going to say that's real.
So if you went and got a beer,
there's something
I want Aaron Judge in the foam.
But there's something with that.
Maybe you're right. Be a lot of foam.
There's something I know MLB wasn't happy about the Yankees doing with their players.
So you're saying it's real?
I'm saying it's real. Yeah. What? Yep.
What it is, Rob?
It's It's a little. Isn't it just the Yankees symbol?
What is it?
It's faces of the players. The MLB has rules that current players cannot endorse any alcoholic beverages.
There it is.
So how are you going to put somebody's face in the foam of beer?
There's some creative artists out there. I don't know, Fred.
How are you going to do that? I want Stanton.
Right.
All right, give us a sec.
All right. Right.
Hold on 1 second.
Have you heard John Sterling's call for Stanton yet? You know he had to come up with a home run call. Have you heard it?
What is it?
It's after he hits it, he says something like, and Giancarlo gets a Stanton ovation. I'm sorry.
It needs work. Needs a lot of work.
Loser! You're a loser!
That's what he said. I guess he had to come up with something.
Yeah. He should work on that.
Okay.
Texas Rangers go big with concession offering. Everything's bigger in Texas. Rangers executive chef Chris Vasquez rolled out the team's new concession menu yesterday, which includes a $10 deep-fried dill pickle that's stuffed with a hot dog, oh God, and a chicken sandwich that's as big as someone's face for $27.50. Rob, is that real or fake?
It's so preposterous, I'm going to say it's real. It's just, it just sounds...
A chicken sandwich the size of somebody's face.
I agree with you. I'm going to say it's real. Yeah. And you know what? By the way, at the Dodger Stadium last night, they had this Dodger something called the Dodger Burger, and it's a hot dog in a hamburger.
Oh, stop.
No, I'm not...
Really?
And I don't eat meat. I was like, what is this?
You know what it is? What? It's the pipes bursting.
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah. Portland star Damian Lillard to name his first son Champ. Damian Lillard will miss tonight's game to be with his girlfriend as she is going to be induced into having their first child. Lillard told reporters that the baby is a boy and they have decided to name him Champ, as in scoring champ, something he intends to be one day. Michelle, is that real or fake?
I'm going to say that's real news.
I'm going to say that's fake. I don't know, just sounds fake.
It's all fake news.
Ah!
It's phony stuff.
Man. Jason, who won today?
What do you mean, who won?
I got a dead tie.
You don't have a tie? What are you talking about?
I got 3-3.
What?
That's, yeah.
I won.
No, last time you came in here, we were tied before.
Were we?
Yeah, we go it again.
Jason, which ones did I not get? Well, are you kidding me? It was 4-2, according to my math.
Really? No, I've got you getting 3 of them, Rob.
Really?
3-3. Yeah, Michelle, does that feel right?
It feels right to me.
Michelle, I don't know. That's that new math they're coming up with. Wow.
Maybe it's the smell in here. I don't know.
That's what it is.
Come on. All right, Michelle, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. When we come back.
Oh, go ahead. Did I mention I'm ahead of the bracket? We didn't talk about that.
Are you?
I'm leading the whole station.
Tell it, Shell.
No.
Yes, I am.
So,
really?
So are you, who do you have for the championship?
For the championship, I have Michigan and Villanova.
Wow.
Oh, you're doing all right.
You're in good position
there. I know.
And then who do you have winning it?
Villanova.
Yep, I picked Villanova to win too.
But
you're right there.
What do I win?
How much money is there? Money involved? Don't say it. No money.
No. You know what you win? You don't have to buy everybody lunch.
Ooh.
Because in the station bracket, the way we did it, Rob, we didn't care who won. We were rooting for the loser.
Oh, yeah.
Because the loser has to buy everybody lunch.
Wow.
So you're going to eat well, Michelle.
Excellent.
Okay. Should we do the Ronda Rousey sound when we come back? Should we do it?
Yeah,
all right.
Let's do it.
Ronda Rousey when we come back. Fred Rogan and Rob Parker today on AM 570 LA Sports. Fred Rogan and Rob Parker in for Rodney today on AM 570 LA Sports. We'll award BJ's here in a couple of minutes. All right, let's get to this Ronda Rousey sound. Now, you know, Ronda Rousey was one of those athletes that transcended sport when she was in the UFC. I mean, she was the UFC. You can talk about Conor McGregor. You can talk about anybody that was competing, but really, she was the UFC because she had the ability to transcend. Everybody knew who she was. She was on Saturday Night Live. She was on magazine covers in the mainstream. And that's really the key to success if you're an athlete, if you transcend. Tiger Woods transcended. Michael Jordan transcended. These are people that transcended. All right. When her UFC career came to an end, if you're smart and running another business, you're going to try to capitalize and grab her to join you. And that's what the WWE did.
Absolutely. I get it. It makes sense.
Makes sense. So she has done, I think, 2 events for the WWE. And really, now she's more, and by the way, if you're a professional wrestler, it's reality TV. I mean, it's scripted, but you're an athlete.
You mean that's not real?
No, it's hard to believe. I used to do this on the news years ago. I'd show wrestling all the time.
You know what? And it's funny you say that. Warner Wolf in New York used to do the same thing.
Why do you think I did it?
Did you really?
Because I knew it worked.
And it worked, and he said, and his reasoning, because he was questioned by, like, the local paper or something in New York, like, why would you show that when it's fake? He goes, every time they have a show at Madison Square Garden, they sell out. People are into it. I'm here to show the fans what they want.
Right. So that's why I did it. And so Ronda Rousey joined the WWE. Now, recently, she did a series of interviews. And you might say this one went a little bit south. Listen.
Let's go back and start with when you knew from the MMA, when you were done there, when you knew in your mind, I'm not going to fight anymore.
I never said that.
Ah, so there is a possibility that you could go back in time?
There's a possibility that I could go back in time? That's your question to me?
Go back in time and fight. Go back in the octagon.
I do not have the ability to go back in time, no.
She is not a time traveler, no.
What a... You know what I would have done?
What would you have done?
I would have stopped the interview and said, I'm done with you. Thank you for your time. Get off the air. That's what I would have said to her.
I do not have the ability to go back in time, no.
Because she's just being difficult. I'm asking you a question. Just, you're here for an interview. Why are you here going through the ESPN car wash and you have on a raincoat? You know what I mean? It doesn't make any sense. You don't want to be interviewed? Why did you come up to Bristol, Connecticut, of all places, to go through 5, 6, 7 shows, and you're going to be difficult? I would have just said, thank you very much. Get out of here, or we're done with you.
Yeah, I don't understand. She was there for only one reason.
Right.
And that's to promote the WWE. The only reason she was there, to talk about her new employer, who must be paying her a handsome sum of money.
Right, and instead you make the conversation about how, how rude and she is, rather than about the event or whatever you're doing for them, right? The whole conversation, Fred, changes. And instead of them playing a clip of her talking about joining the WWE, now it's about her being rude. Golick is a nice guy, because I wouldn't have allowed it. It's funny. We had, because you interviewed Kurt Gibson today, right?
Yes, I did.
You talk to Gibby tomorrow?
Yeah.
Me and Gibby had a big fight on the radio in Detroit. And Gibby was our insider, our Tigers insider on our show. And so there were some things going on with the owner, and so we had Gibby on, and I said, hey, Gibby, what about Mike Ilitch, who's the late former owner of the Tigers, blah, blah, blah. Gibby goes, no comment. I said, well, Gibby, what about this? No comment. And so he does it again. It's like three things where I'm asking him these important things that are going on with the tie. He says, no comment. So I talk to my co-host and I say, hey, Mark, hang up on Gibby. And I reach over and I just hung up the phone on him. I'm like, you're not going to be an insider on my radio show and use no comment. Otherwise, why even be here? And it blew up into a big fight or whatever. And then the producer, who grabbed the clip of Gibby saying no comment, for the rest of the show, I'd say, hey, Reedy, what are you having for lunch today? No comment. Hey, is it going to rain today? No comment. They were so pissed. But I was like, if you're not going to give me anything, you can't be an insider. Does that make sense?
No, that makes complete sense.
And why would you have her on if she's not going to give you anything and going to act like that on air? If I was ESPN, I would have canceled all the other interviews.
I do not have the ability to go back in time, no.
And notice, the two times that it got really awkward yesterday in the car wash, it was because the UFC was brought up. Now, if that was her thing, like, if you're going to bring the UFC up, I'm not going to answer questions, then they could decide whether or not they put her on or not.
Thank you. Once you say that and you say to her, we're going to talk to you about everything's on the table. And once somebody says it's not, then you can say, you know what, then we don't want you.
Or she could have said simply this. Yeah, you know what? I had a great time in the UFC.
I'm done with that.
It's over. And now I'm here, and I'm excited about this.
Yes.
And let's get right to it.
I do not have the ability to go back in time, no.
No, she doesn't.
Or this could just be a giant bit between the WWE and Ronda to dress this thing up with ESPN. And then when she's fighting the Iron Sheik or whoever it is, Golik will run down and give the Sheik brass knuckles. And then she'll kick him in the balls and hit him with a chair. And it'll all be all kinds of drama. I wouldn't put it past him, by the way. I would not put that past him. WWE has worked with ESPN in the past, by the way.
If I was Golik and I had a collapsible chair, I would have run into the other studio.
Right.
Yeah, but of course, we know how you dealt with Rick Barry.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, that's right.
The infamous Rick Barry interview.
Classic. Hang up on him. I don't care if he's a Hall of Famer. Hang up. You're not going to come on my show and try to clown me, Rick Barry. I don't care if you're 75 or 80 years old or whatever you are. You're going to respect me and my radio partner. And if Ronda Rousey can't respect Golik and Wingo or whatever and answer the questions, then don't come on.
Well, Lisa in Santa Clarita, congratulations.
Yes, did she win?
You won a $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse on Wednesdays. $10 loaded burgers with unlimited fries and $4 BJ's signature handcrafted beers. Wherever you are and whatever you do, there is a BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse near you. If we were to redraft in the NBA, we're going to redraft the players, okay? Markelle Fultz went number one. Lonzo Ball went number two. We're going to redraft them. And we're going to talk about LiAngelo Ball and where he's going to end up. There's a big question about that. Fred Rogan and Rob Parker on AM570 LA Sports. Fred Rogan and Rob Parker in today, AM570 LA Sports. All right. So, Rob, you said early in the season, and you were a bit hasty and I think a tad bit inaccurate. You called Lonzo Ball a bust.
At the time when we were talking about what he was doing, he indeed was a bust, Fred, based on the numbers. He had the worst shooting percentage of any rookie. He had the second worst three-point shooting percentage of any rookie. And he had the worst free throw shooting percentage of any rookie. And he was shooting at a 48% clip from the free throw line. Those are horrific numbers for a guy who was drafted number two in the draft, period. What part don't you get?
All right, well, that was then. I mean, I think that you were speaking of at the time, because I think now as things play out, and by the way, I just want to say, we have many people that listen to the show, and I just checked Twitter.
Are they ripping me?
No.
Oh, good.
They have Jonathan Evans. Jonathan Evans is a criminal defense and civil rights attorney. So let me put it like this. If he speaks, he knows what he's talking about, and he understands questions and how to phrase them. And he says, Fred, to be fair to Rousey, Golik didn't phrase the question well when asking her if she was going to go back to the UFC. This coming from an attorney.
Golik isn't a great interviewer. I agree with the question's not great, but she was there to answer questions. She knew what he was getting at. That's why she's there.
I do not have the ability to go back in time, no.
And what's in Death Grip just tweeted? Real or fake? He says, Jordan Clarkson sent this tweet to Ronda Rousey. In time, you can check out my theory about pet dinosaurs. That's good. He listens every day.
That's funny.
All right. I'm sorry. I had to get those in. So anyway, Lonzo Ball is not a bust now. Fair? Fair?
As a number two overall pick,
no,
I disagree.
That. He's not a bust now. He's not a bust. He's a good NBA rookie. He's not. Forget.
He's a good NBA rookie or passable NBA rookie.
He's a good NBA rookie. You look at his numbers. They're fine.
They're not where they were supposed to be. We
no,
got sold to build a good.
Expectation.
Okay. All right.
That was from expectation.
I'm just saying he was a better player at UCLA.
Okay. Well,
yes or no?
Yeah. And he was a much better player at Chino Hills. Yes
okay.
or no?
Okay. But he was better then. I'm just saying he did not take the league, I think, by storm or what people thought.
But that was unrealistic from the beginning. That was completely unrealistic. That was a function of his father and Magic telling everybody how great he was. Because look
okay.
at his. All right. So let's do this. All right. Let's redraft. We have the draft list in front of us. We're going to redraft now. And let's find out where Lonzo would go in the redraft. Is that fair?
That's fair.
Number one overall pick was Markelle Fultz. The number 13 pick was Donovan Mitchell. I will make Donovan Mitchell the number one pick.
I agree. Donovan Mitchell, right? What's he averaging? 20 points?
Yep.
20 points, three and a half assists. Right? He's a guard.
Yep. Okay.
And he's probably going to be your rookie of the year, okay, with the play that he's had.
Fair. Number two was Lonzo Ball. My number two pick is going to be Jason Tatum.
So wait a minute. Why are you taking Lonzo? Why do you say he's a good rookie? 10 points,
wait, no, wait a minute.
7 assists, 7 boards. That's not good enough for you as a as number two pick?
No. Well, as it played out, I'm not saying he's a bad rookie. Okay. I'm saying if I look at production now, as the season comes to an end, I'm taking Jason Tatum number two. The Celtics took him third. I would have taken him number two. Do you agree, disagree?
You say...
I'm taking Tatum too. I'm going Mitchell Tatum.
Yes, Tatum. And I think don't let people... Tatum kind of hit the wall and his numbers have fallen off, but he's had a really good rookie season.
All right. Down. Okay. Number three, I'm taking Dennis Smith of Dallas.
That's LeBron's guy, yes.
Okay.
He's had a very good rookie year. Almost 14. Right. Got almost 15 points and 5 assists, 4 boards.
All right, so that's my number three. Okay, number four, I'm going to take Kyle Kuzma.
Wow. Who was what, 27?
Yep. I'm taking him number four, just on production. Almost 16 points a game, 6 boards. He's closer to a top 5 pick than barely first round. Best rookie on the Lakers. I'm taking him number four.
So he's better. So you're saying he's better than Lonzo?
I am. His production this year has been better. Yes, I am saying that.
Okay. I would put him at, 4 is about right, 4 or 5. He's 5th in rebounds, so I'll agree with you there.
All right. Number five, I'm taking Lauri Markkanen. He's averaging 15 a game, 7, almost 8 boards a game. He's a 7-foot forward, but that's who I'm taking at number five, if I look at production.
A 7-foot forward, yep. And he's, again, really good numbers for a rookie guy.
And he can shoot from the outside.
Yep. Okay.
Number six, I'm taking Lonzo Ball. Now, if he had gone 6th in the draft, he would have gone to Orlando. Number six, I'm taking Lonzo. 10 points a game, 7 assists, 7 boards. When you look at all of the rookies' numbers, then you realize Lonzo's had a good rookie year. A good rookie year. Not a great rookie year, but a good rookie year. And the intangibles that the Lakers say he brings to the team, they play differently when he's on the court. He would have been number six in my book.
When he was out, they went 8-3. I remember that stretch, and nobody ever brings that up.
Right.
You remember that?
Well, those are the forgotten games.
Oh, okay. You forget those games.
Those are the lost games.
All that stuff. Also, Luke Walton one day after they won a game and Lonzo had like 7, 6, and 7, said he was the best player on the court. I think they go out of their way to try to, you know, make Lonzo look good and tell you that what you're watching is something different, that they know something different that the average person watching doesn't get. So right, I'm not all into that. He was originally the second pick overall. I don't see him at 6. I would rather take Josh Jackson. And Lonzo would barely make my top 10, maybe even 11. He might not be even in the top 10 out of these other rookies who have performed more evenly. There have been highs and lows with Lonzo. And he's had some good games. I'm not saying that, Fred, but there have been a lot of stinkers as well.
No, but you've got to give him a chance to grow like you have to give all of the rookies a chance to grow. To your point, Jason Tatum. All right, he's kind of hit the rookie wall.
Right.
So you've got to give him a chance to grow.
Well, but can't we also say that there was a Kwame Brown? You remember him, right?
Well, Ball is not remotely close to Kwame Brown.
No, but I'm just saying.
Kwame Brown had boards for hands.
But what do people say? Give him time. He's just a rookie.
Yes, but he was like Edward Scissorhands. He couldn't catch the ball.
And showed no flashes of anything. Lonzo at least plays solid defense, rebounds, can pass right. A little bit. You can see where he can possibly be productive. Kwame had nothing his first couple of years.
I'm just saying, if I'm LeBron James.
Kwame dropped his own birthday cake.
Is that?
I think he tried to throw a cake at somebody and dropped it instead.
Is that what it was?
What the story was, yes.
Unbelievable.
He was trying to make a joke and throw a cake, but it slipped out of his hands.
Very nice. Butterfingers. Butterfingers on your own birthday cake.
So anyway, I think if you look at it and you just objectively look at it.
I'm being objective. I'm trying to warn you. Be careful.
Oh, no. He has improved. He's improved. Careful.
Before that other game where he hit 7 out of 8,
yeah.
He went through a stretch where he was 4 for 24 from 3, and the shots were horrific. I mean, they were so hard against the backboard and the side of the backboard. He was shooting less than 20% from the field. All I'm saying is these are real numbers. Did you look at the shots? The game when LeBron was here, if that was an audition, he shot 2 for 12. Shots were horrific.
He was auditioning to show he doesn't want to shoot. He wants to pass the
is
ball
that
to
it?
LeBron.
He's shown some inconsistency with his shot, but can't we agree that that's something he can work on? I mean, the intangible things are things that he's shown that he can do pretty damn well most of the time. If his shot is the biggest issue, we talk about, I know, I hate to do the Jason Kidd comparisons, but Kidd couldn't shoot a lick either.
Don't do that.
I'm saying that, and Rob, you've covered the league long enough to know that a shot is something that you can work on and improve.
I got you.
Will he ever be a 40% three-point shooter? Maybe not. But can he improve and go up from 20% to possibly 35%? It's
sure.
possible.
Sure. Yeah, I got that. But hear me out on the Jason Kidd thing. This is the only thing I'm going to tell you. Jason Kidd, for not shooting well his rookie year, still impressed people enough to be the co-rookie of the year with Grant Hill, who was the offensive guy. I'm telling you that Lonzo Ball's not in the conversation for rookie of the year. And that's all I'm trying to make the point, that even though Jason Kidd didn't shoot well, people still recognized his talent. That's why he shared rookie of the year. You see the difference?
My only comparison was just the shooting. I wasn't talking about everything else. With the rookie of the year, I agree with that. Jason had a much better rookie season.
Jason had a better rookie year.
I was
year.
Just trying to use the example of someone who could not shoot a lick and saying that they can improve on that.
And
that was the only example comparison I was drawing.
If we are making the Jason Kidd comparison, remember the note we had yesterday, Fred? Jason Kidd never did this. I guess if Lonzo finishes the season right now where he's at 10 points, 7 assists, 10 rebounds, only three other rookies in the history of the league have finished with those numbers. Oscar Robertson, Magic Johnson, and Ben Simmons.
Yeah, but he's not going to be rookie of the year. Why is that then?
Well, if that's your new argument, you've got to throw this in as a new argument.
No, but I'm trying to make...
Compared to Jason Kidd, he never put those numbers up.
But he was rookie of the year.
Fred was just trying to say he hasn't had a bad rookie year. In fact, he's had a pretty decent rookie year, but compared to the expectations.
But I'm trying to tell you that this is my only point.
Yes.
Is if he's that guy that you're talking about, like Jason Kidd, that should be good enough, because you told me only three players have ever done it. He's not even in the running for rookie of the year. That's how uneven and inconsistent his season has been. Would you agree with that?
Yes. Oh, I would agree with that. Okay. He's not going to be rookie of the year. No, but I'm saying if you look at his numbers, he's not had a bad year.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
He's not been a bust. He hasn't been horrible.
That's all I'm saying.
He's not Michael Olowokandi out there.
Right. Well, hey.
What?
You bite your tongue.
I'm sorry, Fred.
All right.
That's your guy?
No, it wasn't. Oh. I just thought it was funny.
Okay.
He's not Benoit Benjamin out there.
Oh, God.
Benoit Two Left Shoes Benjamin.
That's right.
Couldn't play a game in Sacramento. Why? Took two left shoes.
See, Lonzo hasn't done that, Rob.
Unbelievable.
All right. That should count for something, don't you think?
Yeah.
All right. So now we've... Oh, God. All right. I don't even know if we're going to take Mike. We have to go to a break. When we come back...
Oh, they want to argue with me, right? Is that it?
Yeah, they want to argue. Okay. We'll see. If he sits during the break, we'll take him. And when we come back, since we've now established how wonderful Lonzo is, I'm sure you'll have some thoughts on where his brother is going to go, or where his brother should go. Fred Rogan and Rob Parker on AM 570 LA Sports. And if you text, make sure you answer the phone. Answer the phone. If you text to the number, that means you want to win. And the only way you can win is by answering the phone. So if you get a blocked number or an unknown number in this one situation, if you text, answer the phone, we can put a grand in your hand. All right. Mike wants a fight with you. Mike in L.A., go ahead.
Yeah. Hold on, guys. Sorry about that.
Oh, no,
we'll
Mike.
We'll wait for you.
Don't
worry
about it. Yeah, we got all day.
Yeah,
go
what's
ahead.
Up?
We got nothing
hey,
going
what's
on.
Up? Sorry about that. My Bluetooth went out there. Rob Parker, man, I gotta rip you. I think you're completely way off. You're way out of bounds, Lonzo. To me, Lonzo has had a very good rookie year. Inconsistent at times, but you can expect that from rookie. But when you look at his overall game, the scoring will come along as you've seen flashes of him. He can go off at times. But when you look at the other important factors, which a lot of people don't look at, they just dumb and just look at points. Like that's the only statistic that matters. Look at his overall game. The defense has been a lot better than expected. His rebounding has been very impressive. And his assists have been either. So when you look at his overall complete game, I think he's had a very good year. And I don't know why you're saying he's not lived up to. I know his father's a buffoon, so I don't care what his father says, and neither the Lakers. I just look at his overall game, and I think he's been.
Mike, I'm going to stop you. Let me stop you, Mike, okay? Because Magic Johnson said they were going to put his. He was going to be the face of the franchise and put his jersey up at the top of Staples Center, right? He's not right. Magic Johnson, not close to Magic Johnson.
We
listen to me, Mike. I'm trying to listen to me. I listened to you, didn't I? All I'm saying is that's how Lonzo Ball was introduced to us, that he was the face of the franchise, his jersey was going to be retired, blah, 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 blah. If you play in a playoff series and Lonzo Ball shoots the way he's shooting, it'll be 4 against 5, and the best player will be double-teamed because they'll leave Lonzo open. Did you watch the game where they left him open to miss, go 1 for 12 from three-point land? There was nobody even in front of him. What are you talking about?
I understand.
You can't win a playoff game like that. It'll never happen.
He'll get his rhythm of offensive game, but I'm talking about complete overall game. When you look at everything factored in, I think he's had a very good rookie year, and I think offensively, probably he's a hard worker, so he'll work on his offensive game, and that will come along. And overall, I love the draft was a home run. When you look at Kyle Kuzma, one of the most underrated picks, and then when you look at Josh Hart, so I think Lonzo, Kuzma, and Hart are three home runs for the Lakers.
All right, who's better? Who's a better rookie right now? Is it Kuzma or is it Lonzo Ball?
I got to say Lonzo because Kuzma's a better offensive
player. No, it's not.
He,
no.
He can't play. He doesn't do the other factors that Lonzo can do.
I'm sorry. See, this is what I'm saying. This is the thank you for the call, Mike.
Thanks for calling.
Here he is. They still won't give Kuzma his just due, and they'll still pick Lonzo regardless of the numbers. That to me, I'm not buying. And that's where that hype thread comes in.
Yep.
And people like the kid, and I get it. But you're going to tell me Kyle Kuzma's not better than Lonzo Ball right now? You know he is.
No, I picked him.
Right, I'm saying.
I just had him in my mock draft. I get that. Well, anyway, talking about the Ball family, you didn't hear my conspiracy theory yesterday about LiAngelo Ball.
Let me hear.
All right, I'll give it to you real quick. Here we go. So anyway, a couple of weeks ago, LiAngelo Ball says, I got tattoos all over my torso, and his father says, I don't believe in that kind of stuff. Goes away. A couple of days ago, Lonzo Ball talked to the Orange County Register. Our guy, Bill Oram, our Lakers insider, and he says, I've got a tattoo. You know what? I pay my own bills. I live in my own house. I'm my own man. Okay? We've also not heard from LeVar Ball in a period of time now.
Right.
Okay. So here's the theory. Somebody got to him and said, knock it off. That's enough. We've really had enough. Stop. So they concoct this plan. Where one kid says, you know what, I'm my own man. The other one says, I'm my own man. Suddenly, LiAngelo announces, I'm coming out. I'm going to enter the NBA draft. There's a backdoor deal in place. LeVar, we're going to take care of this for you. You want your sons on the Lakers. If he's not picked, and neither one of us think he will be, if he's not picked,
just stop for 1 second. Was he a starter on UCLA's team before he?
No.
Oh, quit.
No,
okay.
No. All right. If he's not picked, somehow he'll get an invitation to Lakers summer camp, to Lakers summer league, because they invite a lot of people. Teams invite players. He'll get a look. It won't go well. They'll say he's not ready. He'll go back to Europe and play against 12-year-olds in Lithuania, and then they'll save face. He did have a chance to get to the Lakers. What do you think? That's my conspiracy theory.
I hear the saving face thing because I think that there's a part of that. You know, LeVar made it that he was going to go, they're all three going to be in the league and play for the Lakers, and that's just not happening.
And if it, by the
so
way,
that's,
he
it's
also
a way
said
of
if
saving
it doesn't,
face.
Lonzo's not going to resign.
Exactly.
He'll show them. He'll learn them. He'll fix them.
Part of it, I agree. I don't think that they're going to there's a chance he's making the Lakers off of a tryout, but to say that at least he put the uniform on and he tried out or he was a part of training camp or whatever you want to do to pacify and keep LeVar quiet, I can see Magic trying to do that just so that they could stop the noise from the father. From that standpoint. There's no backdoor deal. They're not signing him. The Lakers aren't playing that game. I mean, they'll be the laughing stocks if that's what now, if you had a guy who was, I don't know, playing like LeBron James's rookie year, and that was the guy, and he's going to be the biggest star in the league, I might do whatever possible to make him feel good. But Lonzo's not playing at that level to command that.
Is LiAngelo ever an NBA player?
From the people I talk to in the league, no. Nobody has him listed as a prospect. Nobody. I saw them play in a playoff game last year. I just wasn't impressed. And like I say, he went to UCLA. He wasn't even starting, wasn't even playing. So how do you go from not playing in college to the NBA? You'd have to show me, you know, other than Kyrie Irving, who played, what, 9 or 10 games at Duke, right, and was the number one pick. But they knew he had talent, and he went. But other than that, I don't see it.
Well then, Vic, why don't you take it?
Yeah. This one's Rob Parker. Come on now.
Come on, Vic.
Come on, Vic.
Yeah.
Hey, Jason, you don't have that sound, do you, Vic? Did you ever see that sound when I got in, me and Rick Barry got into trouble?
I love that.
Did you?
Well, you know what?
Rick could be surly.
Yes.
You know,
when you wanted to hang up on him?
Yes.
Remember Ronda Rousey doesn't want to go back in time?
I do not have the ability to go back in time, no.
The good thing is, in radio, we can go back in time. And I found something that would be entertaining to our listeners if we have not heard. This is Rob Parker and Rick Barry. Here it is.
You didn't play basketball, so you don't know basketball.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly
that's
right.
Ridiculous.
You
it's ridiculous,
game,
Rick.
That's your excuse.
Respect,
you're going to go
no, respect journalism and respect that people.
You're a loser.
No,
forget it.
No, you are. You're a loser, Rick. Hang up on him. Thanks for calling.
You're a loser. No, you're a loser.
Well, no, you know what the problem is with guys like that.
At least you guys handled it in a mature way.
Barry goes ballistic. Barry will go ballistic.
But my only thing is, again, Rick, why did you come on a radio show talking to two guys who didn't play in the NBA? If we don't know the game, why would you even come on and dignify or talk to us about basketball? It was just because I disagreed. Do you remember the play where LeBron passed the ball to Kyle Korver, who missed the three or whatever, and he was near the basket?
And I thought he should have passed, by the
right?
way.
Right? I didn't, because if you remember, Draymond Green had 5 fouls already. Go to the basket, get him out of the game, and go strong. That was my point. Rather than, you didn't need a 3 at that point. It wasn't like you had to have a 3. So we disagreed. But he immediately went to what a lot of lame former athletes go to, which is, you didn't play any game. Dude, I'm sorry. I didn't play in the NBA. I've watched and covered enough NBA games to know whether a play I like or dislike. You don't have to play. It's the same thing. These guys, and then Rick Barry's going to go on the radio. He didn't go to radio school or journalism school, so I shouldn't listen to anything that he has to say when it deals with doing radio or doing being a sports writer or sports analyst. So
you're a loser.
No.
Forget it.
Loser.
I know. But you know what? For how old is Rick Barry? 75 years old? To go to name calling. That's the part
you're
that
a loser,
no
forget
a name call you name calling at that age, Rick. Really, I should have gone back at him and said, the last time you had any success in basketball, I think they still had the peach basket or something. I could have gone that route. I could have been mean and talked about his age.
He's a petulant dude. I mean, he'll do that not just to you, Rob, but to a whole array of sports guys.
Well,
that's his MO.
I mean,
he will explode.
Rob,
he will explode.
You still called him a loser.
What? No, I did. He called me a loser first.
Go, Kevin.
It's time for good call.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Bad call.
I may have to hang up on him.
The crux of Rob yeah. and the Hall of Famer Rick Barry's argument was LeBron James, and we have LeBron in as a couple of topics.
Look
as
at
a
that.
Of fact,
there we
today.
Go.
Maybe a Rob Parker special.
Good
I'll
lead
it up for you there, Rob. Now, Dwayne Wade, his former teammate, LeBron's former teammate, 2 times over with the Miami Heat, and then earlier this year with the Cavaliers, was asked the other day after the Heat actually lost, or excuse me, he beat the Cavaliers, about LeBron James and playing with him and his experiences with them being best friends or whatnot. Dwayne Wade said this, quote, "He's one of the game's greatest players, arguably the greatest. I favor Michael Jordan, so it's one and number two of the greatest players of all time, and I got to play against and with one of them." But he makes the argument that LeBron James is arguably the best player of all time, which is a tough sticking point for a lot of people who think Michael Jordan sits above the perch and is unchallenged and unquestionably the best player ever. So good call or bad call from Dwayne Wade saying LeBron is arguably the greatest player of all time. I go to Rob Parker, the biggest LeBron hater I know.
I'm not a LeBron hater. I covered Michael Jordan and I covered LeBron James. And LeBron James is a great player. He's just not the greatest. Michael Jordan's the greatest player I ever saw. And I can't look at even Dwayne Wade. Dude, they're buddies. They go on vacation. They're friends. What are you going to say? He's going to tell his friend that somebody else is better. So I throw out Dwayne Wade's opinion. It's not I'm biased.
Well,
it's biased.
Wade did say he favors Michael, by the way. He says, I still take Michael, but it basically acknowledged that LeBron is not that far behind.
I still think that he's trying to be nice to his buddy. I would take, if I had to pick one of the two people, I would take Michael Jordan.
Do you think there's an argument there, Fred?
I think it's a good call.
Yeah?
Sure. He's free to speak his mind. And I think, Rob, yeah, you did see them both. Actually, I did as well. And Michael was a dominating force when he played. But there is no one more dominant in the league now from any number of areas than LeBron James.
But see, that's
physically as well.
Because LeBron destroyed the league by messing up the balance with the other players and these super teams. Now, here, Fred, this is the only thing I'm going to say with Michael Jordan.
Bull crap.
Go look at the Hall of Famers that Michael Jordan stopped from getting a championship during his run. And we could go through the list. Charles Barkley, Patrick Ewing, Reggie Miller, Gary Payton.
Karl Malone,
John Stockton. We could go through this. There's at least 10, 11 Hall of Famers. I know what I'm playing, right?
Bull crap.
Oh, okay. That he stopped. And LeBron can't say that because he's on a team with all those guys. All those guys were on LeBron's team. So
you want to go?
All right. More LeBron James in the news because he was asked last night who he would vote for if he had one for the MVP. Here is his quote. The body of work, how I'm doing it, what's been happening with our team all season long.
This will be good.
How we've got so many injuries and things of that nature, guys coming in and out, to be able to still keep this thing afloat, I definitely would vote for me. Good call or bad call for LeBron James to say he would vote for himself as MVP of the league, whether he actually believes it or not. Fred.
Great call. Why wouldn't he? I agree. He's the best player in the game.
James Harden is without question the MVP.
Are you saying it's a bad call?
It is a bad call.
Okay, fine.
And you know what LeBron needed? When he made that, he needed this and some tissue. All right, when he was talking about himself.
What is wrong with you? What? You're holding up lotion? Oh, my gosh.
Jeez, Rob.
That's terrible.
Is that a moisturizer?
I don't know. I was holding up. That was a can of Diet Coke. What are you talking about, Fred? Why would a guy who's that great, you know, like pat himself on the back and talk about how great he is? That's for other people. You don't do that. You're LeBron James. Really? You would vote? I would say, man, James Harden, he's had an unbelievable season. I'm happy where my season is and what's happened this year. But, man, James Harden's been unbelievable.
He could have said that. He could have said, James Harden's been unbelievable. I vote for me.
Yeah, he's just being honest, right? Don't we always talk about athletes not being honest and giving you cliched answers? If he truly believes he's the MVP,
then he
what's
is.
Wrong with that?
Right.
Unbelievable.
I don't mind him telling the truth if that's how he feels.
It's been a long time, you know, since I've been on the show. I'm so wound up today.
I understand, Rob. It's fine. Oh, one of New York City's favorites.
Earlier, you were backed up.
Geno Smith. They love him in New York.
Oh, God.
The Jets and the Giants both. So much so that they gave him the boot. But now he's out here in L.A. because he's visiting the Chargers today to possibly be Phillip Rivers' backup. Now, we know Geno's had his share of issues in the league, mainly getting his jaw knocked in by a linebacker for not paying up debts. Good call or bad call to give Geno Smith a shot to be Phillip Rivers' backup here with the Chargers, Rob?
Bad call. Geno Smith. Are you kidding me? I would rather have Colin Kaepernick. I mean, are you Geno Smith, worthless, done, was given opportunities. He can't play. What part does the Chargers understand? He can't play.
Fred?
I'd say it's a bad call only because if the Chargers actually took him out and bought him a meal, that's money they wasted. They're not signing him. So, bad call.
All right. Michael Phelps and a couple of other Olympic athletes have actually spoken about this. It's called post-Olympic depression, similar to, I guess, to PTSD, where after the Olympics end, a lot of these people retire at the age of, 23. You know, they start as Olympic amateur athletes at the age of, 16, 17 years old. And what happens is they transition out of training their entire lives for these great moments in their early 20s. By then, they're done. They're done athletically, and they have to integrate themselves into the real world, the working world, and many of them struggle. Michael Phelps, he did an interview with David Axelrod on his podcast about it. Missy Franklin has talked about it, a great swimmer as well. And they're championing and campaigning the USOC to start programs to try to help transition athletes, Olympic athletes, retired Olympic athletes, into society. Is that a good call or a bad call for the USOC to create programs to take responsibility for these ex-athletes to help transition them back into actual society when their athletic endeavors are finished, Fred?
I think it's a good call. But, see, I think anytime you get any kind of education, it's a good call. That's why when we talk about guys, the one-and-dones, and if they don't make it in the NBA, and I've been criticized for saying this, but if they don't make it in the NBA, they got to do something. They have to have a skill set. They have to grow emotionally. They have to mature mentally. And I think that if, in fact, this is difficult, why not? These people, these athletes, Olympic athletes, and let's be honest, you know them 2 weeks a year, every 4 years. But they've trained for 12, 15 years to get there. If anything can help them transition after they've committed all of that time to a singular goal, I think it's great.
Kev, one question on the story. Is there a bong involved?
You know, I missed that part of the story. I'm not really sure. Maybe Axelrod passed him a blunt under the table. I can't confirm or deny that.
Jeez. Okay, I'm just wondering. You said help him
relax. Helps
is
trying to clean his life up, Rob. Trying to turn his life around a little bit. I guess the question is whether it should be the USOC's obligation to help them out or whether they should seek it out themselves.
Right, but they got to open a dispensary, right?
And stuff. Last one before we check out. Going back to New York. Now, a lot of employees get really upset when employers can't turn it off. They constantly ping them with texts and emails over the weekend. You're off the clock, things of that nature. Things happen. Well, there's a city council member in Brooklyn that actually introduced a bill last week that would make it illegal for businesses to contact employees via email or messages while the employees are off the clock. It's called the Disconnecting from Work Bill. It would apply to businesses with 10 or more employees and forbids communications when the workers are off duty, on vacation, or using personal days, or are off sick. Employers that would violate this would have to pay a fine of $250 or $500 to the employee, depending on the scale of it. Good call or bad call to pass legislation that forbids employers from contacting the employees who are off the clock, Rob?
I think that's a great call. I'm serious. Like, people are working 24 hours a day. You don't get paid for all that. And I think that now, unless you have a job where that's a part of it and you're a doctor or, you know, a reporter or something, you know what I mean?
That is a provision. If you're on call, it wouldn't apply.
If you're on call, it wouldn't apply. But if you're a regular 40-hour-a-week employee, you shouldn't get emails and texts and phone calls during the weekend. You shouldn't.
Fred?
I think this is a function of the way society has gone. You know, so many years ago, people worked so many hours to make ends meet. But people today, millennials, look at things very differently. Their free time is as important as their work. Their off time is oftentimes as important as the amount of money they make. That being said, this is a complete reaction to the way society is today. I mean, I've told the story before. I interviewed a producer some time ago, and I told him we had an opening, and he wanted the job. I'm not going to use his name. He's a good kid. And he'd been working there, and I had a full-time job, and he really wanted it. So I said to him, and it's the first time I ever encountered this, all right, if I offer you the position, are you going to take it? And the guy says, and he's been working there as a daily hire, and he says to me, yeah, but there's a few things I want to get established. Now, he wants the job.
Dude, right there, I would have been turned off.
I go, right? What are they? He said, first of all, I can't work Fridays.
Okay. Thank you.
And second of all, I'm going to need my vacation right now. I need to know. There are certain weeks I need off. I said, okay, why don't you think about it? We'll talk again Monday. So Monday, I walk up to him and I say the same thing. Hey, did you think about it over the weekend? Because the guy wanted the job and he'd been with us on a daily hire situation. He goes, yeah, I thought about it. I said, okay, what do you think? He goes, I still need Fridays off and I need certain weeks of vacation. I said, okay, great. 3 days later, I hired the other person. And he came up to me and he goes, why didn't I get the job? I said, why didn't you get the job? Because the first thing you said is I need Fridays off. And this is my vacation. This bill addresses that. That's what this is about.
Yeah.
This bill addresses that. We don't want to be bothered. Our free time is more important than our work.
I'll tell you that. That sounds so crazy for a guy who wanted the job to put those roadblocks. He did it to himself.
Yeah, but this bill gives people more balance in their life, by far.
You just shouldn't be, and you feel obligated, right, Kev? If you get a call or a text,
no doubt.
You just can't ignore if they say something and then you let it go the whole weekend and then hit them back on Monday when you're back on the clock. They'll be on your case like, hey, we text you Saturday. What happened?
Yeah, it's more of that than anything, because I guess they can email you all they want, but if they have to expect that you're going to respond at an email that you receive at 5:30 on a Saturday afternoon, you know? So it's that. So the fact that you have, there's a reasonable expectation for you to have to respond, I think this bill takes that out of the equation.
Absolutely.
Email me all you want, but recognize legally, I don't have to acknowledge that.
Right.
It is. All right. So that's a good call, bad call, gentlemen.
All right, thank you. Good job. Good job. Petros and Money in the building, and theoretically, they'll join us next. Fred Rogan and Rob Parker today on AM 570 LA Sports. All right, Rob, we appreciate you coming by today. You made a lot of friends.
I know, not a good day for me, but I'll make it up tomorrow at the Dodgers opening day. I can't wait to see you guys there tomorrow.
We're all going to be out there noon to 3. We'll do our show. Petros and Money will be with us. And then at 2 o'clock, because they have to do it this way, then they have to start their show for an hour. So it's like they sit in with us, and then we sit in with them.
Right.
It's kind of like it should be one big free-for-all for 3 hours, don't you think?
Yeah, but they have their own stuff and their own show, so I get it. It'll be good.
So they'll be out there. We'll all be out there. So if you get there early tomorrow, we'll be down on the field. Yell at us. Say hello. Tim Cates will be up in the left field pavilion doing Dodger talk, right? Morongo Casino Dodgers on deck. So he'll be up in the left field pavilion starting at 3. So if you get there around 3, you'll see Tim.
And we have Kirk Gibson on tomorrow with you guys.
We do have Kirk Gibson
Absolutely.
On.
Absolutely. That's confirmed.
Yeah, I talked to him this morning.
Gibby.
We're going to run some of that on Channel 4 tonight. I went down and interviewed him early this morning. And, you know, he's got Parkinson's. He talked extensively about it, what he's gone through.
How's he look?
He actually looks good.
Because at one point, he looked really thin and wasn't steady.
He looks like he is in great shape. And he talked about all of it.
He just, probably good therapy to just be real with it. You know what I mean? And deal with it, Fred.
And how he realized he had it. And it actually happened because he was the color analyst for the Tigers. And it happened. He realized he had this.
During a game?
Before a game. It's like he said he had lockjaw and he couldn't react. And the producer said in his ear, what's wrong? I mean, you can't smile. What's the matter? Is something bothering you? And that's when he realized this was much more than a muscle problem he had been experiencing in his shoulder.
Wow.
That's when he found out when the producer talked to him in his ear. And said, there's something wrong, and there was something wrong.
Wow.
And he looks great.
That's good to hear. I'll be good to see Gibby tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, to be honest with you, he's got Parkinson's.
Right.
So he's not moving as he used to, and he'll be the first one to tell you. He's frustrated with it sometimes. He's also talked about what he has done, the therapy, the continuing therapy.
And that's got to be rough for a guy who was so athletic. Don't forget he played football at Michigan State as well.
He
was a really good football player and a baseball player who made it to the major leagues. So Gibby was a hell of an athlete. You know how hard it is to play those two games.
And I said to him, you know, you were in Los Angeles sports history, you basically had a cup of coffee.
Right, a cup of coffee and a sweet roll. That's all he had.
And you know what? The number one sports moment in Los Angeles history. Kirk Gibson's home run in 88. He'll throw out the first pitch tomorrow. Petros and Matt are next. We'll see you at the stadium tomorrow.
All right.